Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Steve Rosenbloom.
We suck, so your self-quarantine doesn't have to.
Mark Grody.
I think there will be lasting derivatives of this once we get through it, and hopefully we will, with minimal damage, that people will be more aware, honestly, of washing their hands and
good thing.
And apparently wiping.
They suck, so you don't have to.
They can do what they have to do. They know what they have to do. Now they don't have any problem getting it done.
Founding members of the WB Club.
Wake and bake, come on.
Where's Toby?
So I'm practicing, you know, social distancing, and I have a few tips for everybody, you know, no sharing pipes or joints, things like that.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote,
stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK. Morning, welcome in. Steve Rosenbloom, Mark Grody, Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. Mark, how are you today? Mark, hello.
I'm doing well. I have a question for you, Stevie Sunshine. We're going to get into hardcore Bears here, but whose impersonation of Joe Biden do you prefer, Jim Carrey's or Jason Sudeikis? And maybe even running third, I see somebody on my Twitter popped up with Woody Harrelson. Who of those three guys do you prefer to see doing your Joe Biden impersonation in the next 4 years?
I am a Jason Sudeikis kind of guy. I like him. I think Jim Carrey is wildly talented. I think those choices are how you, wherever your leanings are, whatever your choices depend on the lines that are written. And that's where you go. If you want Joe Biden as some kind of more edgier, if you want him, you know, crazy, somnambulant, if you want him as just a lunatic old man, then you might go Jim Carrey. So I think it depends on the sketch and the lines.
This is what I like about me. I only look at politics through the eyes of comedy. So this is not a political statement.
True.
This is what it is. And look, the Trump with Alec Baldwin was I don't know if it'll ever get better. I mean, that was... Ooh. That was great. I mean, Trump provided entertainment for 4 years. I don't know that Biden can pull off the same, but I, too, prefer the Jason Sudeikis more aggressive, more touchy-feely impersonation. But he's just not that anymore. That's the thing, is actually it's sort of like the Daryl Hammond impersonations, where Jim Carrey actually does a better, like, actual impersonation, but the caricature that Jason Sudeikis does is more entertaining. But he's not that anymore. Like, Joe is kind of, like, not as aggressive and aggressive as he once was. But anyway, that's it. That's all I want to talk about.
I have a question for you, Mark. I have a question.
Please.
Did you collect baseball cards? Do you still collect baseball cards?
No, never did. Never did. I just wasn't an organized enough person to do that. Like, that's not the way my brain works. I would buy them and chew the piece of gum, but no, I never collected baseball. My younger brother Brian did, and he'd get like the full sets every year. I never understood what the hell he was doing, but I did not. You?
Well, I did. I won't say collected them in any, you know, you used an interesting word, organized. I never did that as organized. I just opened the packs, I ate the gum, I looked at who I got, and I wanted to trade people, get rid of cards whose names I couldn't pronounce, which is why I wanted to constantly get rid of Carl Yastrzemski, because I couldn't pronounce his name. However, today, on my Twitter machine, popped up a picture that should be a baseball card. And that's why I bring up baseball card collecting. I think everybody would want this. It was provided by Keith Olbermann. I don't know if you saw this. I don't know if our audience saw this. But it is a tremendous opportunity to make a baseball card and collectible and whatever you want. But A gentleman named Joe Biden is wearing a Philadelphia Phillies uniform for a congressional softball game. This is in the 1970s. In the 1970s, as a member of this, as a player on the field in this congressional softball game, Joseph Biden is wearing a Phillies uniform with the number 46.
Oh, my, okay. I disconnected the dots.
35
How about that?
Years for yeah.
You understand
decades
when you
ago. Yeah.
When you say 4 years, of course, you're saying the 46th president. You know where my brain went when you said 46? Immediately to Doug Plank in the 46 Bears defense. That's
right.
I mean, like, my brain is so Bears or in 46. That's what I identify 46. So it took me a second to catch up, but I got it. I connected your dots. Very good.
Well,
Steve,
I'm glad you. I know you connected dots. We practiced that a lot here. So we are broadcasting live from Hyundai studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Our text number is the same as our breaking phone call number, 312-644-6767. You can text us, and the text zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. And should you dial that same number, 312-644-6767, and want to talk to us on the radio, we have a breaking caller sounder, and Trash Panda, our producer, will introduce you to us so that we may proceed with the call. And I know Trash Panda always leaves. He gets sick of us after an hour, and then he gets replaced by somebody. Trash Panda, who's replacing you when you bolt at noon?
So I have to put up with you guys for 2 hours today, actually. I'm here until 1. So
sorry.
I'm sorry to break that to you. Yeah, I know.
No, I'm sorry for you.
Oh, but yeah, it's really a loss for me. But
yes.
Mike Rankin's going to be in after me.
Oh, nice guy, Mike. I like Mike Rankin.
Mike's a good guy.
He's a nice guy.
Whose cornflakes did he urinate in to get stuck producing Saturday Suckers?
They put all the new kids with us. You know how it is.
Do you know? Okay. All right. So we have what our plans are is we're going to talk about the Bears offensive line right now and then again at noon with Jay Hilgenberg. Jay Hilgenberg, a member of the Bears offensive line that would lead the league in time of possession 5 straight years and would make Mark Rohde's 46 defense a powerhouse because they would run the ball and give the defense time to rest, and the current coach has no idea what a running game is. And at noon, that's at noon, at 1, we will talk with Paul Sullivan of my former Chicago Tribune. We will talk about Tony La Russa, and I know, Mark, you have a Tony La Russa topic you wanted to bring up. And basically, Sully said, he's the manager, deal with it. And it's not that simple, but it is that simple. We'll talk to Sully about that. We'll also come back with what Mark heard, one of our new segments, and what Mark heard through the week. And boy, was this a week. Can we start with, what do we know? Can we take attendance? Can we take attendance of the Bears' offensive line or the Bears' offensive side of the ball? Do we? What do we know today, Mark?
All right. Hey, we're all about projections during this season.
Yes,
and I do have a – I can give you my projected offensive line to get people caught up, as you said.
Yeah.
Steve, both centers are out for the Bears. Cody Whitehair, COVID-19. So he – and that became official yesterday. We've known for like 3 days, but the Bears were not uttering those specific words until yesterday. So that did become official yesterday. Cody Whitehair will not play because he has COVID-19. Sam Mustipher is out, been ruled out with an injury. He's got a knee injury. So – now, I think Alex Barrs is going to be the centerman. I'll say centerman for the Bears.
He'll be taking the face-offs.
Yeah, he'll be taking the face. He's Alex Barrs rhymes with Alex Jamnoff. Wow! Did I just do
wow.
That? I just did that. That was a reach. That felt good. I don't know why, but anyway, I mean, who would have thought you'd get a Bears, 90s Blackhawks, or no, they're more like 2000s Blackhawks, right? Jamnoff, like the early
2000s? No, mid-90s, traded for Roenick in mid-90s.
Of course.
Told he would be a Hawk for life until he asked for actual money, and Bill Wirtz said, okay, I lied, forget it, trade a sorry butt. So he did the Phoenix. So that's
anyway, I witnessed Alex Barrs working at center in the end zone a couple hours before the game last week. So that was kind of a giveaway that Alex Barrs was going to be the backup to Sam Mustipher on that day. So I would assume, I'm going to connect dots again, that Alex Barrs will be the centerman for the Bears. Now, you still have Charles Leno in place at left tackle. He is there. Let's just bounce around. Let's go over to right tackle. And I have projected to have Rashad Coward at right tackle, because that's where he's been working out this year in practice and in training camp this year. So I'm thinking it's going to be Rashad. And then I think your guards will be Jermaine Ifedi. He slides back in at his usual spot because he's okay. He's good to go. I should have pointed that out as well. So You do have Jermaine Ifedi. And then I do think that we are going to see the first NFL start for one Arlington Hambright, a seventh-round guard/tackle in his college days at Colorado. He will be a starter, and you will have Lechavius Pig Simmons backing him up.
We both love the whole idea of an Arlington Hambright. It's a hedge fund. It's a law firm. It's whatever you want it to be.
It's a brilliant name.
We don't know if it'll be a left guard. So this is so dangerous and so bad against a real NFL team, but the Titans defense is not a real NFL defense, and it's getting worse. That's mm-hmm. the good news for the Bears. That defense that is bad and awful is getting worse because the Jadeveon Clowney prospect is this pass rusher is dealing with a meniscus issue in his knee, according to Good Morning Football. So everything's on the table, from surgery to not surgery to whatever, but he's questionable tomorrow. He's trying to fight through it. This is what the Bears are facing. The Titans defense that is tied for second fewest sacks with just 7, and we just talked about Clowney, who is supposed to change that, and he hasn't.
Yeah, he ain't been good anyway.
They allow an average of 4.7 yards per carry. For Matt Nagy's edification, that's per carry is a reference to the rushing game, where you hand the ball to your running back and he runs behind an offensive line and they open holes. And it's a very unique thing to offenses around the league, Matt Nagy, a running game. Anyways, they're the sixth worst in the league, Tennessee is. They've also allowed 17 passing TDs. That's tied for fourth worst in the league. They allow 60%. I mean, you have to be sitting down for this. Titans allow 60% of third downs to be converted. Absolutely the worst in the league. So is the Bears' wonky offensive line an excuse to suck against the defense that is this embarrassing? How do you handicap it, Mark?
Yeah, everything you said, spot on. Now, last week against the Saints, one thing that we heard, or the one little bit of optimism about playing the Saints that we heard, was the Saints give up a lot of explosive plays, and the Bears did exploit that. They had an explosive play last week, a couple of them, actually. The Darnell Mooney play, the David Montgomery run. So there were some things, there were some tells in that game that came to be. And now you do have a situation where the Tennessee Titans have lost two in a row. One of their losses was to a really bad team, and that was the Cincinnati Bengals, to whom they lost 31-20 last week. So I actually do. I'm talking a lot to lead up to it because it's not a popular opinion, but I do think that the Bears will be able to exploit some things on that Tennessee defense. And I do think here's why. Because this is a week where Matt Nagy will have to change. He'll have to change the timing of his plays. You know, the whole Nick Foles saying to Matt Nagy, I don't have enough time to run these plays. This is the week where Matt Nagy knows that already. Like, there's no, like, maybe all these guys, maybe this is a great configuration of the offensive line and these guys will thrive, but you can't assume that. So I do think that Matt Nagy's playbook is going to look a lot different and the timing is going to be a lot different. It's going to be get rid of the ball, run the ball. Use David Montgomery out of the backfield in the passing game and in the running game. Use your tight ends more, assuming there's health of the tight ends because Cole Kmet has a groin injury. There's going to be a lot of quick hits, in this game. You're not going to see the although we'd like to see them throw way down the field, I just don't know that that's realistic to think that you could do that right away. So I think there's going to be success in getting rid of the ball quickly and maybe accidentally work well with what Nick Foles would prefer to do. Move fast, short passes, quick hits, run the ball, all that kind of stuff.
Well, that would put Foles in the position of being more the offensive coordinator, and that's something Matt Nagy does not want to give up, and that's a problem. I think that's a flashpoint of an issue. Here's why I think, and I'm bringing this to you from the Athletic. That bad Bengals team you talked about that beat the Titans last week, they came into that game. They went into that game with an offensive line similar to the Bears' issues. They had one starter scheduled to start to be in the one offensive line starter scheduled to be able to play, and then even he couldn't play. So they turned to practice squad guys, and they signed a guy off the Quentin Spain that was signed off the after being cut by the Bills. So they had five new players on that offensive line, the Bengals did. And Joe Burrow went without a sack. He threw for 249 yards, two touchdowns, finished with a passer rating of 106.7. The Bengals also ran for 118 yards and two TDs on 32 carries. This tells you there's no excuses for Matt Nagy, for Foles, that they, especially for Matt Nagy. It is a referendum on his both play calling and ability to recognize the game in front of him. Because this is not an excuse when a team supposedly worse than them, the Bengals, does to Tennessee with the same situation. I just don't see that being a legitimate excuse, and I know that it's going to be a handy one should the Bears lose. I don't see that.
It's a winnable game. It really, yeah, no, it's because we haven't talked about this all week because this entire week has been about the injuries.
It's been about other
COVID.
Things, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been crazy how little I've actually had a chance to talk about this matchup and this game. But yeah, there's no doubt that it's winnable. The Tennessee Titans do have the best player on the field. There's no doubt about that in Derrick Henry. And that has to be taken extremely seriously. And while we're at it, you know, Ryan Tannehill has been very good this year. I think his touchdown to interceptions ratio, let me look right here. I believe it is 17-3. Yeah, 17-3 touchdowns to interceptions, while Nick Foles is 8-7. And that is one time. I mean, there's so many stats you could look at when it comes to quarterbacks, but that's the one I've chosen. Nick Foles, 8 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Ryan Tannehill, 17 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. So they do have – they've got the quarterback, running back thing down, and they got a big receiver in Corey Davis who is very good as well, who was over 100 yards receiving last week for Tennessee. So there are some things – but I'm really looking forward to seeing how the defense handles Derrick Henry, because the evidence would suggest they're going to struggle against Derrick Henry, because they have struggled against a lot of running backs that were not Derrick Henry this year and have given up a ton of explosive plays. And, you know, we saw it last week with Alvin Kamara. You can go through every game, it seems like, this year, and there have been explosive runs by running backs against the Bears defense. So that truly has to – I mean, they always – every coach is going to say every week, oh, we got to stop the run, we got to stop the run. And you're like, okay, all right. But this week, yeah, you got to stop the run.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Stopping the run would be one thing. That keep the defense off the field. And the offense, well, we need to review Matt Nagy's control of the team and Matt Nagy's coaching, because he's headed — I don't think there's even an argument that he's not a bad coach and things are devolving. So I'll give you my reasons and I want your answers to them after we take this break and we come back from that here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Brody with you. Saturday Suckage. On a day when we saw what should be a future baseball card of then member of Congress Joe Biden wearing a Philadelphia Phillies uniform, and the uniform jersey had number 46 on it. I'm Steve Rosenblum, he's Mark Brody. Mark, here's my issue. Here's my thing. Your guy, Dave Wannstedt, and the current Bears coach have a lot in common. They are voluble. They love to talk. They love to talk football. They're people you want to, really, people you want to have a beer with or a cheeseburger. And you want them to succeed. They're generous with their time. I just look at Matt Nagy, and I see him as a bad coach getting worse. I see it. They lead the league in penalties. They come out of halftime, and they're the worst team in the league out in the third quarter. And last week against the Saints at home, they went punt, ejection, interception, punt, no points. How's that calibration thing coming? On the first series, the Bears couldn't get a playoff on 3rd and 4 from the 32, delay a game penalty. Then you're going to see a sack. You're going to see, and it's suddenly it's 3rd and a mile. Last 4 plays of the game, it's overtime. You're at home. Miller bobble, Graham drop, full sack, punt, and then you give Drew Brees the ball. You're following a — I mean, this was a game where Troy Aikman, on a national broadcast, was criticizing the team for having essentially a lack of urgency, a lack of energy. Called them lackadaisical. There's no hurry up there, and not the hurry up offense. They got punched in the mouth one week. They showed a lack of, I don't know, interest the next. The head coach can't identify a bad play caller, and he's not changing things. These same disciplines, these same problems. They can't execute. The discipline is not there. It may be getting worse. And you've got times where they're in the red zone inside the 10-yard line and Jimmy Graham's not on the field when that's the only reason you really have Jimmy Graham. I just think this is a bad head coach who often cannot get his team to execute. And I don't know if you see it descending, if you see the same old problems. You're closer to it. You talk to these people more than I do. But I just see a coach who does not seem to have an ability to change, to make a team disciplined, to get them to execute the minimum that a coach should be able to do on top of coaching the game that's there. So any or all of my points out of line, how do you feel about that?
It's absolutely the same old thing. And we're at a point where last week, Matt Nagy was talking about one of the positives being the running game because a guy had 79 yards rushing. You know, I mean, that's where it has gotten. And this is when you've been asking the same problems, we've been asking the same questions, even in 2018 when they had the 12 wins. It was still, there were still four or five questions after every winning press conference. And when I say winning, the Bears win the game. And then we talk to Nagy on Monday and it's yay, yay, yay. But then there's four or five questions. Okay, so we got through another Eddie Jackson pick six and Khalil Mack with two sacks and a strip sack and all. What about the offense? What about the fact that the running game was not working? And it has been the kind of the same answer all along. We know we've got to get it right. It's scheme. They are very careful, it seems like the Bears have been, to not blame publicly the actual running backs involved. Like, they've been still very complimentary of David Montgomery, bringing it back to 2020. But yeah, when you're asking the same questions for 3 years about an offense, then it's hard to go against the points you just made. Again, the good news is I think that because of the reconfiguration of the offensive line and potentially having a rookie and a guy playing tackle and Rashad Coward, who has not done a lot of it in actual games, that Matt Nagy will realize that he has to change some things, so you might actually see something different. And this is like Matt Nagy has been somewhat resistant to change. I mean, he changed some things last year, but especially after the Saints game, the 7 carries for 19 yards game, or was it 17 yards? And I think that this is the game, the Tennessee game, where he's going to have to be like, all right, I can't do that. I have to let these Nick Foles get rid of the ball quickly. I've got to hand the ball off. It's the only way we're going to win. So I think that's the good news in this regard. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think Matt Nagy's a bad coach. I won't take it that far. But I do think he's had trouble adjusting to the talent that he has. And when you essentially have one super talented, legitimate offensive player, and that was and still is Allen Robinson, that's it.
I do think he's a bad coach because he can't recognize he's got a bad play caller there. And when you see repeated lack of discipline, repeated penalties, when you see so many things being Groundhog's Day, that's a sign of a bad coach. That's an inability to clean up something that you should have done into this for 1 week. And you know what, really, last week it made me crazy, and it might just be me. It might be somewhat of a recency bias because quotes tend to stick with me, and the framework of certain coaches tends to stick with me. But Nagy said that I thought it was a good week of practice. The tempo was great. It was fast. There was good execution. Things were good, but it's not clicking right now. I couldn't help but think of Mark Trestman and the craziness of, well, we had a good week of practice. And it's like, oh my God, maybe he doesn't know what he's seeing in practice. Maybe he doesn't know which transfers over to a game. And I think that's just a bad deal. And when you talk about, I think you're right, that now he's in a position where Foles is going to have to get rid of the ball quickly. And we talked about the running game. Well, the tight ends are going to be a part of that. So run down the status of, we got Jimmy Graham, who, coming off a bad week and can't block, and Demetrius Harris and Cole Kmet, who was listed as, was it questionable? Is
yep.
it still questionable?
Still questionable. So that's going to be, we'll find out about 10:45 tomorrow morning if Cole Kmet is active. But yeah, he's got a groin injury, so he has not practiced this week, which is not a good sign for Cole Kmet. Yeah, Demetrius Harris is not a guy. He is not exactly putting together a lot of trust with quarterbacks in terms of the drops that he's had so far this year. And Jimmy Graham has not been, you know, he's been good in the red zone and then has struggled elsewhere in terms of whether it's timing with his quarterback. I mean, right from the very start this year, remember when he was mistiming leaps? Right? So, I mean, I think Jimmy Graham is kind of what they expected, that here's a guy who's a little bit older now, but he's still an absolute force and weapon in the red zone, but he is not the same for the full 100-yard field. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely, I don't know. You know what? It just dawns on me. J.P. Holt still plays for the Chicago Bears. And last year.
Hello.
You know? I mean, who knows? I mean, because remember, it was after the Saints game last year when the Bears had that crazy low amount of rushes and runs that all of
a sudden,
here's J.P. Holtz. Here's an extra offensive lineman. And all of a sudden, J.P. Holtz somehow, some way, became your leading receiver in the tight ends. But we haven't seen much of him other than special teams. But J.P. Holtz is still out there. I do wonder if maybe there is something for him. I mean, you don't want him to be the guy that is leading you, but he's good for a quick hit. He's good at getting open and being tough in the middle. So if you don't have Cole Kmet, even if you do have Cole Kmet, maybe it's time to break out of J.P. Holtz again.
Well, I was more concerned with the ability to block. Jimmy Graham can't be on the field. When you're talking about the running game, getting the running game going, making bigger deal of the running game, that because Matt Nagy swears he's not an idiot, although he shows it too often, that if the running game is going to be a force, then you have to have you're better off having two tight ends who can block, especially with this offensive line the way it is, that you need that will help. The more blockers there, the better chance Montgomery has of actually being a runner and gaining yards. And right, he doesn't even need explosive plays. If you just look at that defense for Tennessee, they allow an average of 4.7 yards per carry. But we saw that against the Saints, and the Saints were a crappy defense, and the Bears were just not going to kill it the way they needed to kill it. And there would be greater emphasis on this, on the running game this week, and even still greater emphasis, because you don't want Derrick Henry on the field. You don't want, I mean, who's playing nose guard for the, who's going to be nose guard for the Bears defensive line? Who's going to be in the middle of that thing where Derrick Henry's going to be?
Yeah, that'd be Bilal, I would think. Bilal Nichols for the most part, but they've moved him all over the line.
Yeah.
I mean, Akeem Hicks has a lot of responsibility for attempting to stop the run. Are they going to bring extra guys up into the safeties? I mean, you're going to see Tashawn Gibson's going to become a bigger part of stopping the run. Obviously, yeah, Roquan Smith going to be doing a lot of chasing and tackling, hopefully. That is the case. But, yeah, they have to – I think all those obvious things are going to be in play. You know what I mean? Stacking the box, having him accounted for at all times, because like we said, that has been still a little bit jarring to me, but that's been a weakness of the Bears, giving up explosive plays to running backs and letting running backs run on them, which didn't happen in 2018. It started to happen a little bit last year, but even not to the degree it has been this year. So, but I'm actually looking forward to watching Derrick Henry. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to see him trample the Bears, but he's a unique guy, man. I mean, you just, like, I've been asking a lot of players and coaches, who's your comp for this guy? And the only names that kind of come up are Eddie George, Brandon Jacobs. Was that the old Giants running back?
And yeah, Brandon Jacobs with thighs that could house a family of four. Yep.
But he wasn't in the same class.
No.
I mean, he was for maybe a couple of years, but
yep.
not like Derrick Henry, but yeah, Eddie George. And I'm stopping there. I mean, Eric Dickerson was a pretty big running back, right? Wasn't he like a good 6'2"? He was an upright runner.
Yes, he was. And well, Earl Campbell's the one who could hurt you. Earl Campbell was the one who could posterize you.
But was he that tall? Was
Isaiah Earl Campbell Robertson?
Was Earl Campbell over 6 feet even?
I don't know.
I'd have to look.
He always seemed to loom large. That's all I can say. There's a superhumanness about that.
He was more like a Herschel Walker or Bo Jackson type. You know what I mean? Speed and power. Like run you over or run around you. That's what I think of when I think of Earl Campbell. Like, he was the early prototype of those guys to come. Like, there's Earl Campbell, and then there was Bo Jackson, and they were better versions, obviously. Bo Jackson especially. And then Herschel Walker. But
Earl Campbell was listed by Pro Football Reference at 5'11", 232 pounds, and all of it was in his thighs.
Yeah. Yeah, he was built kind of like Walter Payton to some degree. Bigger.
Yeah.
But Payton was about that height, and he had huge thighs as well. Like, Payton wasn't huge upper body, but them legs, man, that helped him to never really go down if he didn't feel like it.
I don't remember. I did cover Eric Dickerson, but I don't remember. And just famously after this, they came back from the strike and he said, let coach run 47 gap, which is eventually what got him traded. He was talking about John Robinson. Let coach run. Yeah, Dickerson was 6'3", 220. So
yep.
He's 4 inches taller than Earl Campbell and 12 pounds lighter. But
yeah, and that is the height, at least, of Derrick Henry. He's 6'3", but he's bigger. And Dickerson wasn't small, don't get me wrong, but Dickerson was an upright runner. Like, he wasn't the typical running back, like a David Montgomery who runs low, you know?
Yeah, Eric, and he had the high leg kick. So you got 6'3", 247 of Derrick Henry, and that's the thing. So
that's the thing.
That's the thing. That's the reason you got to keep him off the field. And the best way to keep him off the field is running the ball yourself and minimize that. And so we talked about a bad Bears offense, about a bad Bears defense. Let's continue this discussion. We'll take a break when we come back. Continue the discussion. The Bears defense against Tractor Cito. That's what Pro Football Reference lists Derrick Henry's nickname as. Tractor Cito, little tractor. Just in case you needed to know. He's Mark Grody. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Welcome and welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Grody with you. Saturday 2nd, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We will talk to Jay Hilgenberg as part of the WBBM pregame, halftime, postgame group, our brother station, 780 AM, 105.9 FM. We'll talk to him at noon about the offensive line and the Bears prospects and what are they doing, Wegner. The scores, Bet Rivers pregame show presented by MailMedChicago.com. That begins at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Habarka, Sholin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and that guy Mark Grody right over there, they'll bring it to you. Listen live on 670 The Score and the Radio.com app. Get the latest on the inactives, the keys to the game, all the Bears news. And so we talked about lousy offense versus lousy defense. Now you have a really good offense in Tennessee and a really good defense for the Bears. And Tennessee's got some they don't complete. They're not among the league leaders in completion percentage, Mark. Their completion percentage is 67%. 67.1, which is outside the top 10, but their quarterback rating is 5th. 109.3. So there's that. And they have they're tied for second with six plays over 40 yards or more. Tied for second in the league. And their sack total is at 9. They're tied for second fewest. So this will – so scout the Bears' defense against this kind of offense.
Yeah, and as I talked about, I think what brings up the – you talked about the 67.4 completion percentage for Ryan Tannehill, you know, not top 10, but I brought up the statistic earlier, the incredibly efficient touchdowns to interceptions. This is not a guy who has been easy to pick off this year, 17 touchdowns to 3 interceptions. So that's not necessarily an area in which you can look and say, oh, we can exploit that. Turnovers, turnovers, turnovers. That's always in play. But Ryan Tannehill has like perfected game manager. You know, we don't hear that terminology as much as we once did, but Ryan Tannehill has settled into a really nice career and a really nice way of doing things. And I do think that that is going to be a challenge for the Bears defense and what they like to do, because they are, even when the Bears were at their elite status in 2018 and then maybe some of 2019, that one of the areas where teams could exploit them a little bit was the quick hits, was tire them out if you can, get them on their heels a little bit, don't get them thinking about interceptions and forcing turnovers, don't let them think. And that is something that Ryan Tannehill and that offense can exploit. And then again, it keeps coming back full circle to Derrick Henry, who could tire out any defense.
Yes, and that figures to be the case. That's a load, as we discussed, and the running game overall is averaging 5.1 yards per carry, the Tennessee running game, and that's tied for third in the NFL. And that's, so you're halfway there, average halfway to a first down, and that's a considerable thing. And the Bears have not been as solid and locked down against the run as you want them, so they haven't earned the right to rush the passer as much, and that's the way things have to work. And that's certainly the Bears, that's the best side of the ball, and that's Tennessee's best side of the ball. It's just going to be a weird thing of our best against your best, kind of both teams looking at each other, and then our worst against your worst, and the Bears' offense gets Tennessee's defense. It's just a weird way to go into the game, I guess.
Yeah, and there's been games this year where the Bears have had those kind of matchups and they weren't able to exploit it, as in the opposing team's defense was not particularly good. Now, they did, like I said, last week against the Saints, they were able to do some things that the Saints typically had allowed teams to do up until that point. The explosive plays, Darnell Mooney, 50 yards. The David Montgomery 79 yards rushing, which sounds ridiculous to call an accomplishment, but it was. And the running game figured some things out, I suppose. I don't know, figured some things out. They were successful to some degree last week. So at least the Bears saw the areas last week where the opposition was vulnerable, and they exploited it, and now they have a chance to do that again this week against the Tennessee Titans defense. And it is ironic to say too that this game, the Bears offense could probably be the side of the ball for the Bears which thrives better than the Bears defense, because I just keep worrying about the Henry factor and Tannehill. And then, you know, the things I was saying, I don't know how, if you agree or not with me on Tannehill, but I just don't think a quarterback like that is a great matchup for the Bears. The Bears are better when it's a more of a drop back, you know, dare I say, Tom Brady type of quarterback, as opposed to Tannehill, who can do the quick hits, and he's got some mobility, and then he's got that running back to toss to.
There's no question he's going to be a problem because of Derrick Henry, because there's so much concentrated on that, and they're going to run him, and the Bears certainly can't avoid that. You can't take a playoff. You can't ignore him. You have to account for three guys on Derrick Henry every play. That's what it will likely take to bring him down. And that makes every quarter. That would even make a Bears quarterback better with any coach who believed in a running game. And you start there. You don't end there. And start there and stick with it. That's the Matt Nagy. The fact that Derrick Henry's on the other side is the best reason for the Bears to run the ball and shorten the game and keep him off the field. And you're right, the Ryan Tannehill becomes a lot smarter with Derrick Henry running the ball and gashing him for their running game gets 5 yards a carry the way they've averaged. That's going to be bad news. So we'll find out whether the Bears can, in fact, should, in fact, run the ball, emphasize run the ball. What should they do with this kind of offensive line and these kind of mix and match pieces? We'll talk to a former great offensive lineman for the Bears after this break. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.